welcome.
Hi, this is Kathy Vandebelt from Oracle Health Sciences, and we're here to talk about clinical research and some of the hot topics that are being discussed. And I'm here with Dylan Rosser. He's the Executive Director of Global Development Operations, and he works with Amgen. Hi, Dylan. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Kathy. Thanks. It's great to be here.
So do you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and how you've been involved in clinical research?
Yeah, absolutely. So as Kathy mentioned, my name is Dylan, Dylan Rosser, and I've been with Amgen almost 19 years now. And all of that time has been within Global Development Operations, where we are the clinical trial execution arm of the organization. And, you know, I think it's been an incredible journey over the last decade or so, where technology has advanced significantly and really allowed us to, you know, I think speed up the clinical trial process and hopefully meet the needs of our patients that are in dire need of critical medication.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you so much. Well, I know one of the hot topics that definitely requires technology is sort of this buzz phrase or terminology around virtual trials. And some people think that this is something new. Others think that it's been around for a while. Is this something that you've been thinking about, Dylan, virtual trials, and something that you've tried to execute?
Yes, absolutely. And it's an interesting point you make around, you know, virtual trials either being around for a long time or they're quite new. And I think, you know, from our perspective, certainly here at Amgen, that, you know, we feel there are component pieces of virtualization that have been around for an extremely long time. I mean, I recall many years ago having healthcare at home, nurse visits that allow us to treat our patients, at their homes, so they don't have to have significant travel burden on them. And, you know, that's a degree of virtualization. They're not there with their physicians in the office going through a lot of the assessments that clinical trials require. You know, we have, you know, mobile technology and wearable technology now that we apply to various trials to measure ECG, blood pressure, activities. We have e-consent, to ensure that patients are receiving different information in different media to ensure that they are well informed of clinical trials and the clinical trials they're involved in, and they can ask questions that are important to them. So, you know, there's many components to virtualization. I think stitching it all together and applying it holistically in a single study where everything is virtual and you don't have a bricks and mortar site that conducts the assessments, I think that's the challenge that we're facing today.
So why has it become so popular for people to talk about virtual trials? And why has this become such a hot topic? Maybe for the people out there that maybe aren't as close to clinical trials and maybe don't even realize that this would be something worth talking about, maybe we can help break it down to them.
Yeah, I mean, at the center of all of our research, at the center of everything we do, I mean, the most important customer really is the patient. And I think the more we can do to alleviate any burden on those individuals that are providing their data and providing their time and providing their energy to, you know, advance clinical trials and clinical research, I think it is absolutely critical. So, you know, if I think about, you know, an oncology study or a study that requires significant investment from a travel perspective and time at clinic, and all the burden that a patient and their families have to go through, the more we can alleviate there, the better. So for me, you know, if we can actually allow them to, you know, have an experience where they can spend more time with their family, more time at home, and, you know, we can work with them and their physicians to collect data as necessary, I mean, that can only, I think, advance, you know, their understanding of clinical research and their willingness to be involved as well. I think the other part of this is outreach. You know, many patients who need critical treatment aren't aware of options within the clinical trial setting. They aren't able to make these long distance commutes to get to the clinic where a clinical trial may exist. So if we can virtualize this and have greater outreach into the community with our clinical trials, it'll serve two purposes. One, it will obviously provide some form of treatment option to the patients, but also it could potentially accelerate clinical trials so we can get the medication through the regulatory framework faster and get these important medications to patients, a wider patient population. So hopefully, you know, addressing the concerns of society.
So it sounds like it might be a better way. So why not do all trials that way?
Yes, it's a great question, and one I think we are challenged with on a daily basis. In some instances, you know, the complexity of a trial and the complexity of a medication and the dosing of that medication does require, you know, hospital visits or clinic visits where you have healthcare professionals and, you know, certain services available that will allow us to treat a patient appropriately. There may be, you know, services that you need from an imaging perspective or very specialty lab assessments that need to occur. And some of those cannot be run virtually. So we have to choose our studies very carefully and apply virtualization as appropriate. Now, there are going to be some very complex studies where you can have components, the e-consent piece, as I mentioned earlier, ECG, wearable technology, activity measurements, etc. Those are components you can overlay onto most trials and alleviate some burden. But the kind of wider virtualization in the terms of telemedicine, etc., should only be applied in certain therapeutic areas, in certain disease types that will accept that.
So do you feel the technology is there to support all this and it's ready there for us to use? Or I hear some people say that the technology is really not ready for that. So where are you on that spectrum?
Yeah, I think over the last few years, we've been testing this, putting our toe in the water to try to understand, you know, how applicable is the technology today. And, you know, we have struggled to find the right patient population and the right clinical trials to apply holistically a telemedicine virtualized model. And we're embarking actually towards the end of this year to include a subset of patients here in the U.S., that is going to be fully enrolled in that virtual setting. We're going to be utilizing all the technology we have available to us within virtualized trials, and we're going to include about 100 patients in one of our late phase clinical trials. So hopefully we'll get a good readout on the success factors associated to that, and then hopefully embark on rolling that out to more trials as we gain more experience.
So you mentioned that the patients are really important in all of this. So have you had a chance to hear from the patients about sort of these telemedicine or these virtual experiences and what their thoughts are about all of this?
That's a great question. And, you know, with some therapeutic areas, for instance, migraine, we have found that, you know, we've had feedback that this could absolutely be a game changer in clinical trial inclusion, where, you know, they don't want their lives to be impeded by clinical trial site visits because the disease itself is so impeding on their life. So for us, we had some input from our patients in some therapeutic areas, but in others where we've not necessarily embarked on true virtualization, then, you know, we're still awaiting and jury's out on those.
Okay. So it sounds like you are engaging with some patients, and they're perhaps, would it be fair to say they're influencing how you actually conduct clinical research, or is that going too far?
I think they are influencing, yes. We've been looking at patient centricity for quite some time here at Amgen, and we've invested significantly over the last few years on a patient centricity model where we are able to engage with patients on patient panels to understand, you know, what their needs and wants are from a clinical trial. And we've also looked at other components such as clinical trial site simulations, where we work very closely with investigational site, and we'll overlay a protocol at that site and have a patient walk through all of the assessments with that physician under that protocol and under normal clinical trial conditions, so we can understand exactly how that trial is going to impact that patient. And from those findings, we've actually changed some of our protocols. We've changed the way we've approached the design of that protocol and some of the endpoints that are associated to that disease type. So we have embarked on this, and we're investing more significantly this year than we did previous year. And obviously, we're going to expand this as we expand the portfolio.
Wow. So have you, are you, I'm not trying to pry too much into how you do stuff, but are you able to share, have you done that in like one country or multiple countries? Is that something you've done in different regions? Can you share a little bit with our listeners what that might look like?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a number of facets to patient engagement and patient centricity that we apply. I mean, I've mentioned a few there, but I'll go into a little bit more detail on some of those. So we have our patient panels, and they are made up of a cross-section of the patient population that we're working with from a therapeutic area perspective. And we've conducted those patient panels across probably about 15, 16 different protocols, so the different therapeutic areas, and we've done those globally. So we've had many patients engaged from approximately 11 countries, I would say. And that's given us a really broad understanding of what the patients need globally, down to, how the different countries would visualize clinical trials and how the different patients would participate in those trials in those countries. We've also conducted, as I said, those clinical trial site simulations. Now, we've been far more limited in those because we'd like to keep those in close proximity to the clinical teams so we can actually work very closely with the physicians to understand, how these clinical trials would operate on and be executed within the clinic. Now, there's other areas that we've looked at, which are things called facilitated reviews, and these are techniques where, similar to the clinical trial site simulation, you almost step through and have a third party step through the clinical trial process, step through the protocol with us, but it's more virtual. So we wouldn't be at the clinic itself. We would be, it'd be around the table and discussing, the flow of the patient through the clinical trial, how the physician, the research staff would interact with the patient. And the time it would take to run clinical assessments, and then have that impact assessment then go back into the protocol and help redesign and reschedule certain things within that protocol.
With respect to sort of getting speed to market, one of the things that people often measure is how long does it take you to actually get the protocol approved? Have you found these activities have helped you speed up protocol approval or slow it down? Keep it the same. What has sort of been the reaction around measuring that type of milestone and the time to get to that milestone?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, protocol completion is one of our key milestones that we drive for because we need to get that protocol into regulatory agencies and ethics committees to enable us to have rapid study startup and enable us to obviously treat patients and move through the clinical trial as quickly as we can. What we found with appropriate planning, and this is at the, when we're looking at evidence generation and trying to understand what the clinical development plan would look like, we'd like to incorporate patient voice at that very early stage to understand the impact on the wider portfolio. And as we move down into protocol development, again, we can apply these facilitated reviews or simulations or patient panels. And with the appropriate planning, there's no impact on the timelines. We're able to run these methodologies, incorporate the outputs into our protocol authoring process, and then move through to the approval and then obviously the release then to the ethics committees and the agencies on the appropriate timeline. So we've not really seen any impact on timelines. Where there's been an urgent need, of course, and we insert this without due planning, there are some delays incurred.
So it sounds like it's the way you just do your work versus something you decide to do. Oh, we better do this.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and this has been an iteration over a number of years where we first embarked on it. We chose studies that were in flight and you applied some of these methodologies. Now we select out very carefully during the planning phase that we need to do this because there are significant gaps in our understanding of disease, patient flow, or patient understanding of what we're trying to achieve with our clinical trials. So inserting that into our daily thought process now is critical.
So we also hear in healthcare, there's a lot of emphasis in the United States as well as in different parts of the world that the doctors and the nurse educators would like patients to play a more active role in their own personal care and be more knowledgeable and also make decisions to help them sort of, in their medication and their physical activity and so forth. And now we're seeing through examples that you just gave that we want them to be play an active role and help better understand how to write. And you even said it even influenced the endpoints in one of your protocols. So as we start to do more and more in sort of the clinical care side and in the protocol side, and now it's 3 to 5 years out, and we start to see patients being more aware, more knowledgeable, more active, kind of in the healthcare setting. Do you have any predictions or any thoughts on what, patients' roles might be?
Yeah, I mean, I hope we'll be, this engagement will increase, and working with advocacy and patient individual patients, I'm hoping that they can influence the regulators along with the pharmaceutical and biopharmaceutical companies to understand what's important to patients, and the framework that we're trying to work through is to get these medications to the patients as quickly as possible. And if we're not doing it with the patient in mind, the end user, I think it's a lost opportunity. So the more we can do to engage patients, not just from an industry perspective, but from a regulatory perspective, I think it's going to increase in importance as we progress over the next few years.
This has been an excellent conversation about just understanding your thoughts about the importance of virtual trials and sort of the role that patients play and sort of how the two even come together to help support getting the right individuals and the right sort of trial underway and so forth. Are there any thoughts you'd like to leave the listeners with as we sort of conclude sort of these two very important hot topics?
Yeah, I mean, technology is only going to advance, but we should always remember front and center to all of this is the patient, and we should always be looking at technology to support the patient and understand if it doesn't have an impact on the patient, then really we need to question why we're advancing some of these things. So, patient first, I think technology second.
Well, that is Dylan Rosser. He's the Executive Director of Global Development Operations from Amgen. Thank you very much for taking time out of your very busy day to speak with us and share your thoughts and bring your knowledge and your expertise to us today. So thank you, Dylan, for your time.
Thank you, Kathy. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks so much.